Well, it looks like we're going to start again our Revelation study. Do you have that copy? You got one? Yeah, that, yeah. Give everybody a copy and then put that top one on them. This diagram that we have up here tonight gives us the outline of the time of the from the time of the rapture until the time of Jesus Christ's second return. A lot of people call this time that he's coming for his bride the second coming, but he doesn't really come to this world until he sets foot upon it at that end of tribulation time. The ones that he's coming in this next time will be when he ascends in the clouds and he calls for his bride to rise and to be with him at that time in that new city. So we have the first portion of this with the first six seals of the four horsemen, the great tribulation, the first resurrection, and the saints killed by Antichrist. That is the first 3.5 years of the, I think it's 10.5 years of tribulation. The only portion that we'll be dealing with the church is the first 3.5 years. During that first 3.5 years, the messengers of God will be flying through the air, preaching the everlasting gospel to those that are still upon the earth at that time, for the church that was left behind. A lot of them will probably be, well, maybe not a lot, but there will be a few from Laodicea, not many. There will be many from the time of Philadelphia, and then there will be all of those all through the ages back down through when the Holy Ghost was first given. So all of the saints that died in his name, filled with his spirit, living according to his word, will be in that resurrection when Jesus comes and calls his bride out. The first 3.5 years has nothing to do with those that are on the other side of the 7.5 years of horror that is about to partake upon this world. The six seals, when they're opened, the first, the two witnesses, when they are resurrected or killed and then resurrected, and then when Jesus returns the second time at the Battle of Armageddon. The seventh seal, the seven trumpets, and the vials, all are dealing with the earth. All of the things that happen after the first 3.5 years deals with God's judgment upon the earth and all that cannot be redeemed. The first 3.5 years are for those who, like I said, were left behind, that like the five foolish virgins, those that weren't quite living what they knew they should have been. They didn't forsake all that they should have forsaken. Whatever the reasons, they didn't make the rapture. They didn't weren't caught away in the bride. But they have their chance now in this first 3.5 years of tribulation. But in order to have that chance, they must die. They have to give their life for the testimony that these witnesses are shouting from the air, do not take the mark of the beast. Obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that they say to him, I don't know, but it'll be something like that. Do not take that mark. If you do, you're lost eternally. So for 3.5 years, there is an opportunity, a second chance for everyone who missed the rapture, as we call it. They didn't make the bride. They still have an opportunity to surrender their life and still be able to dwell in God's kingdom. It's a terrible price to pay, but it's better than the alternative, much, much better. So we are starting off now in the 4th chapter of Revelation, where John writes, and he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet sounding or talking with me. That's a voice like a trumpet is another one of those descriptions of Jesus Christ that was given in the first chapter. It said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And hereafter is the time after the church. This time where the history of the church was given on earth, these 7 church periods that he gave, he told them, gave all these letters to them, telling them what they needed to do, what they needed to correct, and so forth. And when he was finished with that, he says, now, afterwards, now, we're doing something a different way now. Immediately, then, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne, Jesus Christ. And he that sat upon was to look upon like jasper, and the sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. First beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The fourth beast had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. They rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lived forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The history of the church has now been brought to a close with these scriptures. We have here the story of what will take place in heaven after the resurrection. The resurrection of the bride. When Jesus steps out on that cloud and he says, beloved, come to me now. Something like that. All of those that are filled with the Holy Spirit and alive at that time will be resurrected. They'll go up. But first, the ones that died over the centuries, from the time the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, everyone that died righteously, it passed on, they lived their life according as God asked them to live it. They rise up first, and we are caught up together with them in the clouds, and then we go up into glory. Jesus doesn't stand up on the earth at that time. He only ascends in the clouds and calls his bride out. And then tribulation starts. for a short period of time, and it doesn't say exactly how long of a time until Jesus comes again, but it's not very long. But we do know that it's at least 3.5 years. John sees things happening on the earth, and he does his best to record them, but it's as one that is in heaven looking down upon the earth. And this has never happened before through all of mankind's history. It's always been the prophets looking upon the earth or on the earth looking up into heaven. It's never been anyone in heaven looking down on the earth. And everything that John sees, something happens in heaven, it causes something on the earth to happen. So, prophets in the past had, at times, stood on the earth looking into heaven, but no one before John was ever privileged with the ability to be able to actually see this with his own eyes. But there's nothing to describe what he sees. Remember, he's looking at God's kingdom. He's seeing Jesus Christ, but it's not like he saw him on the earth. And the things he sees, there is no way for him to describe it. There are no words. There's nothing that looks like it. Nothing that resembles it. Everything is completely strange and alien to him. So he has no way to describe it. And he's doing the best he can with just the words that he knows and things he's been associated with here on the earth. So the descriptions that he gives may sound weird to us, but he's trying to figure out or trying to put it into words that we can kind of comprehend. But we can't, and he knows we can't, but he's doing the best that he can. But it gets easier as we travel through the book. There are symbols in this section. There are words which sound like symbols because of the difficulty involved in trying to express heavenly things with earthly words and observations, which is nigh on to impossible. Imagination helps, but it's really not all that effective, but it does help to. If I was going to try to describe something that I had never seen before, I have seen a lot of things in 70 years or so. But all of the things that I have seen could not even come into the realm of the spiritual world. We've never seen it. We've never been exposed to it with our eyes. We've been exposed to it with our ears as far as spiritual music and so forth goes here, but not that up there. The things that we'll see, even with our best imagination, the most beautiful things that we've ever been exposed to, will leave us very shy on what we can describe of what we're seeing of the spiritual realm. But John is doing his very best. This section here now has two main divisions. This one right here has two main divisions: tribulation and judgment. Now, as I said before, the rapture begins just before tribulation starts. Now, the hard times and so forth, the sorrowful times will come. But tribulation doesn't start until Christ actually takes his church out of this world. So notice that the time covered is from the rapture to the return of Christ. The chapters are from chapter 4 through chapter 11. And the scene is in heaven. So everything that happens on the earth is a result of something that's happening in heaven. Every thing that God does in heaven has an actual result of something happening on the earth. The trumpet call in Revelation 4:1 says, after this, John speaking, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me. Now, that's that one of those descriptions of the voice that was given to this image he saw in the very first chapter, which we know is Jesus Christ in his glorified form. Remember when he said to Mary, touch me not, for I'm not yet glorified. I've not gone into heaven to my Father yet. Said it was as a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately he was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now this hereafter, as I said earlier, is after these things, after the church dispensation, after the letters that were read to the churches, the things that the churches were slack in, and the things that they needed to improve in, and the chastisement that he gave to some of them, and the praise that he gave to two of them. So it's after the seven churches, or the time covered by the seven churches. That is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Turn to that. 4:16. Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians. Starting in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, everyone who is alive and at that time, and are still here, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So therefore, comfort one another with these words. We'll be caught up together with all of the dead saints, those that have gone asleep in the Lord. And when he sounds his trumpet and says, come to me, the graves open, the dead rise, we're alive, if we're still alive at that time, we'll be caught up together with them. They won't go in heaven first, it's just they rise first. First they get resurrected, then we join them, and we all go up together. So those of you that had planned on going up in the rapture with your loved ones, and maybe one or two of those left first, rejoice. You will get to go up together. It's just that one of you will have died, and the other one will still be alive, if that's the way it's going to be. But it doesn't matter either way, because we'll all go together. So the resurrection is the first in a series of events that will bring this age to an end and usher in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that these days would be as the days of Noah. That was a time of judgment. God destroyed the earth by a flood, but Noah and his family entered in through the open door of the ark. And when everything was aboard that God wanted aboard, God closed the door. Noah didn't. His sons didn't. Their wives didn't. God closed the door. That door was open for quite some time. And they had about 120 years to prepare themselves to get ready to go in. But only Noah, his three sons, their wives, and Noah's wife were the ones that made it. Eight people out of several million on this earth at the time. And that's going to be pretty much the way it will be this time also. There will be many make it through the bride, caught up into the clouds with the Lord when he steps out onto that heavenly place and says, come to me. And there will be many that will be resurrected and be caught up together with him in the clouds. And those that don't make it in that catchaway, remember when he said that the church was in, well, we'll get into this later, but I'll give you part of it now. The church that's left behind is kind of put into a place where God kind of protects it for a while. But it's all of those that will not accept the mark of the beast that have to give their life. And usually it's by beheading. At least that's what the scripture says. When John asked, who are all of these millions worshiping he who sits on the throne? And the angel said, it is your fellow brethren that gave their heads for the testimony of Jesus Christ, who lost their heads or had their, were beheaded, that's the Irish word, that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So God destroyed the earth, first of all, by a flood. Noah and his family entered through an open door of the ark, and God closed the door. The ark was raised up above the waters. And when the judgment was over, it settled down again upon Mount Ararat, I believe that's the name of the place. And it was on that day when God judges the earth. This is the day that, this is what it will be like in that day when God judges the earth by this time by fire. Pestilence and plagues. The faithful will be taken up from the earth and will escape that time of trouble. How do we know this? Well, because Jesus said so. Turn over to, let me find out where I want to go here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on. After that time of trouble is over, that's when they return to earth again. That's what was for me. We're taken up. The bride is taken up out of this world during this first 3.5 years of tribulation. We're gone for that entire time except for those that are preaching the everlasting gospel in the air to those that are left behind. After that 3.5 years, Satan takes over this man, Antichrist, and he begins to put in his actions as Satan incarnate in that man. So the word resurrection refers to the dead who will be raised, but only the dead in Christ will be glorified at that time. The living Christians will not die. The saved who are living at the time of the resurrection will never die. Remember when Jesus was, I believe he was talking to the woman at the well of Samaria, and he said, you believe in the God of Abraham and so forth. And he said, yes, and he's talking to her. He said, well, those who believe in me at that time shall never die, even though they will live now. They'll never die. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in me, yet though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives in that day, he's talking about, and believes in me, shall never die. Now, that is in John 11, I believe. Please let me be right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yes, John 11, starting in verse 24. Martha said to him, he's talking about, wait a minute, when this is her brother, remember Lazarus had died, and Jesus is trying to comfort her, and he says, well, he'll live again. She says, I know, Lord, in the end, when in the resurrection, he'll be raised again. And he says, no, that's not what I'm referring to. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, those are the ones that die through history, right on up until the time of the rapture. Those that die in Jesus Christ will be resurrected. They will live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Whosoever lives or alive at that time of the resurrection shall never die. So if we're here for the rapture, we'll never see death. It's the bride that is alive at the time of the rapture is the only human beings that will never see death if they're alive when the rapture takes place. I'm really hoping to be in that time. But I can't promise that. But it's getting close. I do know that. It's getting very close. And the more I watch that programs and things that I shouldn't be watching because it's real depressing. But it's very informative also of what's happening around this world. It is, if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I would be pulling what hair I've got left out. It is horrible out there. I don't understand how people can stand it without God. What do they hope for? What is their ultimate goal? How do you live without the full knowledge that you're ready to meet God? Without absolutely knowing that for a fact, how do you live? How do you survive? Thank God we don't have to worry about that. But we do know a lot of people that do worry about that. This young man that I was told about it took his life. The first thing that I thought of when I heard that and I was told, my first question was, did any of our people know him? And the answer was affirmative. Yes. Yes, many people knew him. Knew his parents, knew his grandmother, his mother. How many witnessed to that young man? How many gave him an opportunity to not only miss this horror that he was facing, that he felt he had no way out, no alternative, but to take his own life? If he'd have had the hope of the resurrection, if he'd had the hope of the infilling of the Spirit, if he had the hope of knowing that there is a God that is alive and well. I'm not going to ask who, if any, witnessed to that young man. I want to know, but I just don't have the courage to ask. But what I am going to bring to your mind, that the Word of God tells us that any time we have an opportunity to witness to someone and we don't take it, and that soul is lost, the soul's blood is upon our hands. So whoever had an opportunity to talk to that young boy and didn't do it, we'll have to answer God for that. To what degree, I don't know. I do not know. And I'm not telling this to you to scare you or to make you feel guilty. Well, I don't know. Maybe all of you witnessed. I don't know. But I'm not sure enough to ask because I don't want to be disappointed. Just remember, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Our sole commission in this life, we have only one duty in this life, and that is the salvation of souls. We have no other purpose for being here. To grow and to become more like Him and win souls. Because how do you know that your neighbor, your friend, your cleaning lady, your milkman, your mailman, your boss at the job, your doctor, how do you know if they're ready to meet God unless you ask? And if you don't ask, why? What are you afraid of? I mean, they're not going to punch you out. They're not going to talk mean and hateful to you. 99% will just ignore it. But at least don't stand before God with blood on your hands because you didn't give the opportunity of salvation to souls. That young boy, he deserved an opportunity. He deserved it. We received it. Why would we withhold it from someone else? That don't mean to sound like I'm fussing at you, but that's hard. When I heard about why, it was such a foolish reason. And if he'd just known, if he just maybe, I don't know, maybe he would have just thrown it back in your face. I don't know. But I pray someone said something to him. I forgot where I was. I'm sorry. In John? Oh, okay. That's where he's answering Martha about whosoever believes in me shall never die. And whosoever lives, they'll never die. And those are the ones, the only ones, through history and right on up until the beginning of tribulation, that those who are alive at the time of the resurrection, the catching away of the bride, those that are alive at that time will never die. And I really hope it's us. I really do. I want to go up in a rapture. I mean, we will go up in a rapture, but I want to see it. Well, I'll see it. It's confusing. It really is, because you're going to see it all of the way anyhow. I guess what I'm saying, I just want it to happen quick. Just bring it down, Lord. Bring it on. The resurrection is the first of a series of events that will bring this age to an end and usher in the kingdom of God. It will bring a series of events that will bring this age to an end and usher in the kingdom of God. Jesus said these days would be as they were in the days of Noah. And the word resurrection refers to the dead who will be raised. Only only the dead in Christ will be glorified at that time. The living Christians will not die at that time. The living Christians will not die at the time of the rapture. Those that are resurrected, that means raised up from the grave, that have died from the time of the Pentecost until the day before the rapture. All of those who died during that time will be raised first, and then we which are alive and still here will be caught up together in the clouds, and so will we always be with the Lord. Not up in the clouds flying around, but doing the work of the redemption of the church. Our work for God has only started on this world. The whole purpose of the church is the redemption of souls. That's what the church does. The redemption of souls. He tells Martha, as I just read in John, the 11th chapter. Sometimes the rapture is referred to as the second coming, but it's really not the second coming of Christ, because Christ doesn't come down to the earth. He only comes into the clouds. It is a coming of Christ for his church, but it is not until a few years later that his second coming actually comes in to earth with his saints, when he comes back with his army. The scene that we'll behold and experience at that time, we will pass through immediately after the rapture. So we've now entered into the section of Revelation that is designated in the first chapter as things that shall be hereafter. Hereafter, the dispensation of the churches has passed away. And then when the church is finished and we're caught up in the rapture, then these are the things that will come to pass. We've now entered to the section of Revelation that is designated in the first chapter as things that shall be hereafter. The church has run its course. After the trumpet call is sounded, after the church has given up its saved members to be with the Lord, the experience of John is typical of the church, the bride of Christ. He saw a door opened in heaven. He heard a voice. Sounded like a trumpet. Remember the voice that sounded like a trumpet was one of the descriptions of Christ in the first chapter. That is what the saints will hear when the resurrection morning breaks bright and fair. And that resurrection morning, when the sun breaks bright and fair, and the saved earth shall gather over on that other shore, when the roll is called up yonder. Oh, I'm going to be there. Won't we? Absolutely. This is the invitation that causes the saints to mount up with wings as eagles. It's the invitation to the marriage supper. The marriage supper of the Lamb. John responded otherwise. As will the church, he saw what the saints will see and experience on that day. He saw what we will see and experience. He was the first one. And this was what? 1,000 years ago? 2,000 years ago? About 2,000 years ago, wasn't it? Two kinds of churches will be involved in the rapture. You know which ones they are? Laodicea and Philadelphia. the two churches be involved in the rapture. These are typically set forth in the previous chapter under the heads of Philadelphia and Laodicea. The Laodicean type of church will be left behind. Now, there may be a few in the Laodicean type church that will be saved, but the church as a whole will not be. It has nothing that entails God to it at all. I would rather you were hot, or I would rather you were cold, but because you're neither one, I will spew you out of my mouth. But even in the worst churches, even the worst church dispensation, even the worst church times, there were always a few overcomers. Always a few who stood by the rock. Most gave their lives for it. Most gave their lives for it. And the only ones that didn't were those that weren't caught, were able to escape, or their time period passed by and they was no longer in that type of dispensation. To the Philadelphia type church, it is said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from that what? That's exactly what he didn't say that, but that's what he meant. I will keep you from that time that is going to come up on that, try the whole world. This time of tribulation that will come and try the whole world. I'll keep you from that time. He will take the church out, the Philadelphia church. That's what we are. That's what we must be. That is what we have to be. The Philadelphia church. Brotherly love, and our first love is complete. We've never fallen away from it. We've never let it go, and we keep building on it. We have to have the first love for God and the second one to our brothers and sisters. If we have that, if we keep that, then we'll never, ever fall. We'll be caught up together. That is the Philadelphia church. The rapture may come. Anyway, it probably will. It probably will come. In a time of peace and prosperity. Now, why do I say that? Well, if I turn to it, I'll have to find it. But it says that, how to word that? I just hate it when I forget something. I think of it and I forget it. Yeah, let's see, maybe I can run into it. Oh, yeah, it's in Revelation 3. That's what I'm looking for. Revelation, what is it, 3? No, that's not what I want. I want Thessalonians, I think, yes. Thessalonians, First Thessalonians. Turn to First Thessalonians, I believe it's in Thessalonians. I think it is. Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5. Oh, yep. I marked these in yellow, so if, when I turn the pages, if I see that yellow splotch, then I know I found my place. So it's in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we start in verse 1. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, what does that mean exactly? When they say peace and safety. Remember, Antichrist, when he comes into the world, he comes as a very popular, very handsome, very knowledgeable, very intelligent. He's a man of great warlike abilities. He can figure out all the things that needs to be done to control and to overcome and to win the battle and so forth. He brings peace and prosperity to the entire world. Now, who wouldn't want somebody like that running not just our country, but our world? That's what the world will be looking for. Matter of fact, it's getting closer to that every single day. Every single day. With the one that we got running our country right now, we need somebody. But we don't need that one. But it will be him. One of these days that comes in and takes over and brings in what the whole world is looking for, peace and prosperity for everybody. Every table will have a T-bone steak. Every wallet will have its greenback stuffed in it full. Every job, every man will have a job. Everything is just the way you want it. And when everything is just perfect, or more or less, then that's when he stands up and declares himself God, and you will do this and so forth. And Christians will become outlaws. They will become heretics to him. They will become rebels, preppers, secessionists. And when that happens, the church is already gone. But just shortly before that. So in a short period of time. But when that man of sin is revealed, it doesn't say when Antichrist himself is in power, but when he is shown to the church, when the Antichrist is revealed, then is our time to leave. God will remove us from that great tribulation. It has come upon and try the whole world. That hour of temptation, that hour of trial, it just is sent to just destroy every person except for those who are willing to give their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Ghost won't be given during that time. I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. But through the giving of your life, and probably your head, because it says those who were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ will give their life for the testimony, for the gospel. Those are the ones that will come and be saved through tribulation. And as soon as that first 3.5 years is finished, Satan takes control of Antichrist, and then it's all over but the shout. Then God closes the door on salvation, and for the next 7.5 years, there is nobody saved. No one. And then comes horror that you can't even imagine. Nobody should want to be here. Nobody will want to be here. It says that men will seek death and it will flee from them. They can't even kill themselves. No matter what they do, they can't die. Oh, let me finish this real quick. Well, I think this would be a good place to stop right here. We'll stop here with this. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction.